Good morning. This morning's reading comes from Acts 10, 34 to 48. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed through all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out onto the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay a few days. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these words from your scriptures. And we pray that today our minds would be expanded and changed and challenged by what you have to say to us. Pray that we might be open to your spirit being at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, a few verses before the passage that Anne-Marie has read for us, as we saw on the video earlier on, Luke has just reported something absolutely scandalous and shocking. And it's this. The Apostle Peter went to the house of Cornelius. Now, I can tell you're all absolutely shocked and horrified by this, so I'm going to say it again. The Apostle Peter went to the house of Cornelius. Now, it sounds to us like something quite ordinary and normal, doesn't it? One person goes to another person's house. But this was no ordinary visit. In fact, I can hardly tell you how shocking this was at the time. You see, the Apostle Peter was a Jew and Cornelius was a Gentile. He was a Roman centurion. You see, good Jews just didn't go round to the houses of Roman centurions. They didn't show hospitality to them and they didn't accept hospitality from them. It just was not done. It was breaking their law. And the fear was that you might touch something or you might eat something that would make you impure. So you'd be breaking the kosher food laws or the purity laws of the Jewish Torah. You just wouldn't go near it. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't even think about doing it. You would stay away. So what's Peter doing there? Well, as you saw in the video earlier, God is at work and God has gone before him in this encounter. I don't know if you've ever had any encounters like this, a God encounter, where you meet someone and something happens or something said and you just know that God has been there before you, preparing things, doing the groundwork, as it were. And it's like God has made it happen, this meeting on this particular day, at this particular time, in this particular place. Well, in this case, this meeting between Peter and Cornelius, something so big and so unprecedented and so seismic, such a paradigm shift is about to happen, that God has been doing some preparing of the ground on both sides. First of all, on Cornelius's side, Cornelius is described as a centurion who is God-fearing. He's a Gentile. He's uncircumcised. He's not part of the people of God. He's not part of the family of Abraham. But he is described as a generous man who prays regularly. But he doesn't yet know the good news about Jesus. And one day, a vision of an angel comes to him, who tells him to send for this man called Simon Peter, who is staying a few miles away down the coast in Joppa. So God is at work preparing the ground on Cornelius's side. But even more so, he has to prepare the ground on Peter's side. And Peter, as you saw in the video, has also had a vision. And it's a really weird vision of this sheet being lowered down from heaven. And inside the sheet are all these animals that the Jews were forbidden to eat, pigs and lizards and owls and creeping things, all kinds of things that Peter would never go near. And a voice tells him, kill and eat. And Peter is shocked. He's never so much as had a bacon sandwich in his life. How could God command such a thing? But Peter is told three times, just to make sure he gets it, do not call anything impure that God has made pure. Do not call anything impure that God has made pure. And as we saw on the video, it's not actually about God abolishing the kosher food laws. It's not actually about Peter changing his diet. No, the vision isn't really about the food. It's about Cornelius and his family. The vision is about preparing Peter's heart for the massive mental shift he's about to have to make. You see, God is about to break down a wall. Peter is about to find out that the good news of Jesus is not just good news for the Jews. It's not just good news for one ethnic group. It's good news for everybody. The Holy Spirit is about to interrupt Peter in the middle of his carefully worded sermon and inconveniently fall on some people who he thought were out of it, people who he thought were beyond the pale. Not only has Peter broken the Jewish law in coming to Cornelius' house, now he's having to rethink his whole theology, his whole idea about God. God shows no favouritism. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And it says in verse 45 that the Jews who'd come along with Peter are absolutely astonished, but they're seeing it with their eyes. They can't argue with what is going on right before their eyes. A load of Gentile, uncircumcised, unclean, impure Romans. Here they are, filled with the Spirit of God, speaking in tongues, worshipping with all their might. They can't argue with that. What a moment. What a moment for Peter. What a moment in the history of the church. But also, what a moment for you and for me. Because this moment contains the seed, contains the promise that you and I too can receive the Holy Spirit, that you and I too can receive this good news that everyone who believes in this Jesus can receive forgiveness in his name. No matter your age, your gender, your background, your ethnic identity, no matter where you come from, no matter what you've done, no matter your marital status, your sexual history, whether you're tall, whether you're short, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you voted Leave or Remain, wherever you come from, everyone who believes in Jesus can receive forgiveness in his name. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit can fall even now, even today, even here on Ynys Môn, even on me, even on you? The seeds of this are in that moment. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Later today, as you know, we're going to be returning to our church building. And we rejoice that we're able to do so. And we remember the love and the generosity of the people of Bethel Baptist Church in Holyhead, who 160 years ago paid for our church building stone by stone out of their hard-earned money, so that the English-speaking immigrants to Holyhead, who'd arrived with the railway and to build the breakwater, would have somewhere they could go to worship God in their own tongue. And we thank God for those faithful Welsh-speaking people. We thank God for their sacrificial, visionary, missional love for people who are different to them, people from a different language group, from a different ethnic identity, different culture. And we say thank you, Lord, for them. And thank you for our building where you have been worshipped, Lord, for so many years, where the good news has been proclaimed, where many have been baptised. And our church building is a gift that we have been given to use for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, and we praise him for it. But we also have to be careful, because sometimes walls can become a prison. And sometimes buildings can become a place to hide. Sometimes walls become a barrier keeping outsiders out and insiders in, keeping us safe from the people out there, the ones who are different from us. And what I want to say today is that walls cannot contain our God. God is a God who is at work outside the walls, in unexpected places, and in unexpected people. He's preparing the ground in people's hearts. Even now, people here in Holyhead, unexpected people. Peter had to learn that Christians weren't necessarily going to look like Jews. And we have to learn that Christians aren't necessarily going to look like Christians, or what we think Christians should look like. God delights to surprise us. He delights to break down walls, to bring the unlikeliest people into his kingdom. We serve a missionary God, a God who sends and a God who goes. Jesus left the glory of heaven and came into the muck and the messiness of earth. The feet of Jesus walked in the mud and the dirt and the animal poo of first century Palestinian streets. And we too, a bit like Jesus leaving the glory of heaven, a bit like Peter daring to enter the house of that Gentile Cornelius, we too need to be a people, we too need to be a church who are not contained by our walls, but who dare to follow the Holy Spirit into some difficult and uncomfortable places. And like Peter, it might mean us crossing some barriers, making friends with some people who are perhaps different from you in ways that it mean it's not easy to be with them. Maybe people from a different religion or a different culture. Maybe people whose sexuality and lifestyle are different from ours. Maybe people whose lives are chaotic because of poverty or addictions or mental health problems. Maybe people suffering from dementia, or people who have disabilities or communication problems that mean it's just not easy to be with them, hard work talking to them. It's far too easy to stick with the people who look like us, who sound like us, who share the same values as us, who have the same maybe political views as us. But God sends us. He sends us out with good news on our lips. Good news that everyone, everyone who believes in Jesus can receive forgiveness in his name. He sends us into places where we might feel uncomfortable. He might send us into schools or parties or skate parks or, dare I say it, pubs or bookmakers or new age shops. I'm not suggesting that we do anything that is sinful, but he might send us there. Where are the people who need to know the good news of Jesus most of all? We need to be prepared for our taboos to be broken. We need to be prepared for our comfort to be disrupted, for God to surprise us with the work that he's already doing, preparing the hearts of those unexpected people. We can't sit around expecting people to come to us anymore. It just doesn't work like that these days. We are called to be out there, in the cafes, in the streets, in the shops, always ready, always praying for God encounters, always open to the call of the Spirit, always ready to give an answer, always ready to bear witness to what the life of God means in our lives. And this story of Peter suggests to me that one way in which that works is through friendship. It's through giving and receiving hospitality. You know, often we talk of the model of church as being like a family. And that's a good model. And yes, we do want to love each other like a family. We want to love each other unconditionally as brothers and sisters in Christ. But I've been thinking more and more that we also need to be talking about friendship. Because a family is normally made up of people who are all from the same place, who look the same, sound the same. And it can be hard to join a family if you feel like you're different from them. But Jesus calls us in the Gospel of John to be his friends. He says to his followers, "I call you friends. I lay down my life for my friends." And he calls us to friendship. Friendship with him, first of all, and friendship with one another, where we're deeply committed to one another in love. But also friendship with those outside the church. And my prayer today is that our friendships, your friendships and my friendships, those places where hospitality is given and received with people who are different from us, would become God encounters, where the good news of Jesus is proclaimed and where the Spirit of God falls and where the kingdom of God comes. So where is God sending you today? Who is he sending you to today? As things open up, as the lockdown eases, who can you open up your home to? Who can you open up your heart to? Might be uncomfortable, might be inconvenient, but the Holy Spirit is already doing the groundwork. So our choice is, we're going to hide behind our walls? Or are we going to go and join in with the work that God is doing? Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the Apostle Peter. And we thank you that he had the courage to cross over that boundary, to go to the house of Cornelius that day, not knowing what he was going to find, that he was prepared to have his mind changed and challenged. And we thank you for those Gentile believers who came to know you, setting the pattern for all of us Gentile believers who have come to know you. And Lord, we pray that in our lives, in our friendships, in our encounters with one another and with those who don't yet know you, you would give us the courage to testify to that forgiveness that we can receive in Jesus' name. That you'll give us the words on our lips to proclaim the good news of Christ. That you will give us the courage to be friends with people who are different from us, because it's in those encounters across differences that so often the Holy Spirit falls. Lord God, we pray that you would give us as a church the courage to give and receive hospitality across differences, across and outside our walls. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.